And joining us, Flathead High School Vice Principal Bryce Wilson.
Good morning, Flathead. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. All right. Boy, they dropped the bomb on you yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah. Are you still wearing an activities hat?
Yeah, the schedules. You know, that was interesting because the media knew before the ADs did.
Oh, really?
So
that's rude.
Toby Robinson out of Belgrade forwarded an email that he was able to get that where it was published. And sent it to all the AAADs, and we all went, what? And so, you know, it was part of one of the cases is that it's an open meeting, and one of the press was on listening to it, wrote an article, and got that published before the notes and notes got sent out to all the athletic directors in the state. So, you're right. We got a little bit of a change of heart on a few things, and, you know, we were talking about that speech and debate maybe was going to get pushed back to December 1st. And just kidding, it's ready to go next Monday, full go. As far as practice, they're talking about virtual tournaments, which is a real challenge. And, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, speech and debate is something really where you're presenting to an audience.
Sure.
And people go, oh, well, you memorize a speech and you give it. Well, you don't just give it once in a tournament. You know, you could give it up to 8 times. Because there could be 8 rounds, and you know, I don't know exactly how many rounds there are, but there's a lot. I mean, it's a very dynamic thing. You could have a great round, and then you could have maybe not the same energy in the next round and get really knocked down. And so it's, you know, over the long haul of a 2-day tournament, how well you do with your piece. Well, if we go virtual, you might do it at the beginning of the season, and then from then on, they just hit play.
Oh no.
And you'll never give it again. So there's some challenges with that. And you know, we have some great kids that are very good at it, and they really want to have some in-person tournaments. So we're hoping that we can get that to happen. Or even if you have a virtual tournament where you have to give it each time. But you know, with that, as you guys know, you know, when you memorize stuff in front of an audience, you don't get to use notes in any of the things for AA. And you could have a teleprompter right behind the video screen, and you could go ahead and give that and make sure that every little thing is in there. So it's going to be a challenge. I think there's going to be an interesting learning curve on that one. I think tournaments start December 1st in that regard. And then that was the other bombshell. We kind of knew that something maybe was going to happen with the winter sports. But they decided that we're going to push back the start date till December 7th. And so basketball, swimming, and wrestling won't start till then. And then January 4th will be the first competition date. And so with that, well, as you guys know, my schedules have been blown apart multiple times.
You know, maybe you should be talking about tumbling.
Yes.
You know, the scheduling thing, and, you know, I think what's going on is we're entering a new season, and nobody knows how COVID-19 is going to react during this new weather circumstance.
Yeah, that's definitely true, you know, and it is. It's, you know, that, I don't know, it's a challenge. It's going to be a challenge. I mean, we've with volleyball, we've had a little bit more of a challenge, I think, at least in the AAs, where next week we have some... we had 2 games canceled. Next Tuesday, we have senior night, and our freshmen and our sophomores won't play. And that we didn't cancel that. It's not ours. But there's, you know, today we play Sentinel, varsity only. And again, it's just because they canceled the game last week with us, and they're only going to bring up their varsity. And well, so
that's going to have an effect on next year's teams, because the sub-varsity teams are the ones who will be varsity next year.
Right. Yeah, it does. It has a domino effect, if you will. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those are the things that we just keep struggling with. And it does seem to be in volleyball, it's been a real challenge to keep all of our teams healthy and going forward. And we're all just doing the best we can, you know, but you're right. The challenge is going to be those schedules. And what does it mean? Yeah. You know, for basketball, I think you'll just lose your non-conference, kind of like we did with football and volleyball. Mm-hmm. Wrestling, we probably won't even build a schedule right now, because we got to get a more clarification from MHSA, because as you remember, like in cross country, we didn't have the invites, the big invites where I had 700, 800 people. We had 200 people max. So what does a wrestling schedule look like? Because we have some big invitationals that are very similar to that. They have 500 participants. You won't see those. You will see a dual or maybe a quad. And we haven't figured out that schedule yet. So, I mean, that changes a lot. And, you know, like we're running the state cross country meet. Well, we've got kids from some of these smaller schools, because who runs cross country meets? Well, all the double A's run the cross country meets, but we had to cut back because we could only have 200. So there are schools that will be coming to our state cross country meet next weekend, not this one, but next weekend, that will have never had a race until they run the state event.
Wow. And nice. So they're coming next week and we could have snow.
Well,
on
yeah,
the track.
No, I know. Yeah, you guys, nobody held out the weather for me for another week. Yeah. Come on, guys. No, don't you have that power?
Well, you know, we could ignore it, I guess. But now, what about training for all of the sports? Is the scrimmages and training all taking place? And then the games just don't happen.
Well, everything's been pushed back, Robin.
So the first official practice will be December 7th.
Okay. Now, normally that's like, what, middle of November?
Yeah, about the 19th of November, roughly, right in there. So it's pushed back about 3 weeks. What you'll see is some teams will probably have some open gyms, which kids just get to come in and shoot around. But
the MHSA requires so many practice sessions before the first game.
Yeah, we'll have plenty. Because December 7th, you can start practice. Yeah. The first game's not till January 4th. So you can practice all those times through there except for Sunday. So you could, theoretically, you could have like 25 practices before the first game, which you would never want to do.
You'd wear your team out.
You wear them out, and they'd probably hurt each other because they're tired of going scrimmaging against each other for so long. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a big change and a big, and we knew that it was coming. We just didn't hear immediately from MHSA. And, it's all good, but it is definitely a challenge. And as Robin points out, you know, indoor sports and the change in weather, we really don't know what this winter weather is going to bring. I think, you know, with people being inside more, what we've seen is that's within the challenging areas. Mm-hmm. Outside, we really haven't seen those be challenges. I mean, it's been a lot better, at least.
What is the plan for the fans?
Yeah, so the fans, you know, that's an interesting one, too. And you've got what they released yesterday for playoffs is you could have up to 6 per participant get to come to an event. Right now, like when we had soccer with Glacier the other day, we had 4 on each side. The one bad thing, I guess, is that it's not consistent throughout all the double A's. And it's never been. We've tried it from back in, if you guys remember, back in August, we were trying to get it to be consistent. It hasn't been consistent at all. We have a game tomorrow in Helena, and we're only allowed 1 person per participant to go watch that game. And, you know, it's just what
now,
it is.
This is the Flathead Braves football game.
Well, this is the Bravettes. The Bravettes are playing volleyball tomorrow in Helena because it's a makeup game.
All right.
And so when they go down there, there's only 1 per participant.
That's right, because Friday night is Crosstown.
Crosstown.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, that's right. We'll get to that one. All right. So that's challenging. And so you've got some very, you know, the local health districts have been very interesting and different. And again, my hat's off to Tama Lee Robinson, because she really has worked with us, you know, and MHSA approached her about the state cross country meet. And really, we're one of the few communities in the state that was willing to host it. With the blessing of their health department. No other health department really wanted to touch it. Tama Lee has not, you know, she's not backed down from it and said, well, let's look at, you know, what are the protocols. I submitted a plan, probably a 10-page plan of what we will do and how we'll try to keep people away. And we're changing it from a 1-day meet to a 2-day meet. But getting back to your question, Ron, so then we're having 2 spectators per participant for cross country. And that's a little bit more restrictive, you'd say, than football. But remember, in this case, we have some races that have close to 200 kids in it. So you could have 400 spectators for 1 race at this cross country meet. So it's could be up to about 3,000 people over the 2 days. We're breaking it up into 4 different races. So we were going to try to keep how many people are out at Rebecca Farm. And that's the other beautiful thing is it is outside. It's at Rebecca Farm. And we'll have about 750 spectators in any one event as we go through it.
Well, it's well thought out. Tama Lee St. James Robinson has commented that very well thought out, makes sense. But, you know, the wild card is somebody going to get sick from someplace else?
Right, you know? Right. And, you know, and we'll have some very strict protocols as far as, you know, you come in. As you come into the facility, you know, we're going to have three people greeting you. And it is going to be masks required, as all MHSA events are been. And we'll have people monitoring that throughout the whole event. And, you know, obviously social distancing, the beautiful part is that you're at Rebecca Farm, which is a beautiful farm. And it's got a lot of space and a lot of acreage there, like 160 acres, something like that. And, you know, it's beautiful. It'll be able to space people out. We space the races out. And, you know, with all that, I think we'll have a great event. And, you know, we were one of the few places that was able to host it. And, you know, this is the second time we've hosted it. And in fact, I'll be, after I leave the studio today, guys, I'll be out there setting it up, because we like to get it set about a week in advance to make sure we have everything, you know, the T's crossed and the I's dotted, yeah, making sure that we have it all ready. But, you know, it's going to be a challenge, but we're ready for it. And I think it'll look really nice. And we just want to make it special as we can for those participants that are coming out.
And the first time any of the participants see it, local and out of the area, will be that day.
Yeah, so it's going to be, you know, that's the other challenge with MHSA. All year long, they said you can't walk across country course before the meet. So what we've provided is we've got a video link. We did a video of the entire course,
okay,
so that people could kind of see the elevation changes and some of that, because they won't get a walk it. Yeah. They, for most of the people coming, it will be their first time on the course.
Yeah.
You know, we've had to run multiple races there this year because we got, you know, all those other races got reduced. So because we couldn't go to Great Falls, we couldn't go to some of those other races, we've had to race our own here on the course. And you know, there's good and bad to that. You know, you know, yes, you're familiar with the course, but there's also some complacency because you've been on the course too many times.
Yeah. Okay.
So you know, it's gonna be challenging, but you know, we're excited about hosting that. And then we've just had a great, you know, like we're gonna get set double flagged. We haven't had it double flagged all year. And the reason is it's a lot of work. And you know, we were gonna put it up originally and leave it. But they, Rebecca Farm, they have a big event now in the fall, and I think that ended up getting canceled. But you know, we didn't. We try to be good people, you know, working with them, because they are so amazing out there. Rebecca Farm, you know, every time you talk to them, you know, I thank them. I'm so grateful for them giving us this opportunity to run out there. But I just want to make sure we're good stewards of when we go out there. And every time I thank them, and they just are like, you know, well, what else would we use it for? It's great to have the kids on the course.
That's nice.
It's great to see all of the people out here. So they, again, have been amazing, and we'll just continue that relationship with them. So that's been good. You know, a couple other things that I just wanted to, you know, kind of give the COVID update as far as the high school. And actually, I have the school district numbers. And I know that we talked a little bit last week about how the county numbers, as we all know, are going very high and have not stopped in a weekly totals. The school district, all in school district 5, our numbers have been very consistent, and actually we're lower than what we have when we had a spike about 2-3 weeks ago. We're much lower. We're about half as many as we had in the whole school district. It's like 15, I believe. And so that's for the active cases for the whole week.
And the cohort seating has made it really easy for them to deal when there has been a problem.
Yeah, you know, and it has been pretty easy to deal with and look at who's quarantined. And, you know, that's the other thing, is studying who's quarantined. It's very interesting. You know, it really, again, comes back to events that are away from Flathead High School.
Mm.
When you look at events at Flathead High School, one of the things that, I mean, I think the kids are very good at, the teachers are very good at reminding, is that, you know, the kids wash their hands more. They're distancing as far as we can get them in classrooms. I mean, it's not perfectly 6 feet in all cases, but, you know, 5 is better than 4. And
they're masked up.
Better than 3. Yeah. And then the number one issue that we do is the masks. The masks are on. And I really do believe that if you're infected, that's what, you know, they tell you, is that you're not going to infect somebody else if your mask is up.
Right, right. Right.
And I think that's helped. We've had, you know, obviously we've had positive cases, but people that have sat right next to them have not got it. They've been quarantined, and they'll come back and they go, boy, I never got it. And they test negative.
Isn't that great?
So yeah. that's great news as far as spreading it. You know, we'll be cautious about how we do some social events moving forward, just because that's obviously one of the big places that's a point of emphasis, if you will, from Tamalee, is making sure that you don't have social spread. And that's usually where a social setting, a wedding is, you know, typically the one that you hear. But, you know, some of our banquets and stuff, it may look a little different at this, at least at Flathead High School. We're looking at doing some virtual stuff.
A virtual turkey dinner.
That's right.
Sounds delicious.
That's exactly kind of what it's at. And there's some challenges there, but it just, you know, we're looking at that, and we'll get that out to parents here as we've started wrapping up some sports, that we want to make sure that we are good about not now, you know, because that's what, you know, some of the things that you've seen in the paper, you know, the wrapping culminary events of a cast party after the play is over. It caused a bunch of people to go out because there was some positives. And so we just, we want to be cognizant of that and be, you know, making sure that we're good stewards at the end of seasons, as long as we were during the season.
You know, I, the kids I see, they're all masked up. They don't make a big deal like adults do.
That's true.
You know,
and I'll go back to, I mean, I don't know if I've ever, the one, we had one gal in the first day of back to school, she goes, I would have worn a hazmat suit to come back to school, because I mean, they are so thankful, so grateful to be back in school. I just can't even tell you that a level of, when you talk to the kids, they are thankful they're there and they're appreciative. And it's probably been the most thankful year, as far as when you talk to kids, they're very much enjoying being back at the school.
Well, think about it. The same adults maybe that don't want to wear a mask love that Lone Ranger mask when they were a kid.
Well, you know, we've got Halloween coming up, and, you know, we've all told them, we, you know, for, I don't know, I've been in Flathead for 14 years back, I've been in 13 years, has been, don't wear a mask, don't wear a mask. And now we have to let them wear a mask, obviously. So that'll be interesting. We'll conclude on the last thing is, so we got Crosstown tomorrow night. Yep. Anthony will be there, I know, and 7 o'clock, we're going to kick that game off against Glacier, and we are the underdogs, but you never know. You know, the teams.
Well, you never know.
You never know in Crosstown what'll happen. And hopefully we come out hard and fight. Mm-hmm. I know Coach Upham's been working with the kids and his whole staff. And our kids are looking forward to it. And it'll be a good game.
All right. Thanks, as always, Bryce. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys.
Stay safe. Stay healthy.
Will do.
All right.